field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Paul DeTino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513. Or if you want to participate in the show on Twitter, you can go to hashtag GiantsChat. Good morning, everybody. John Schmelk. We're joined by Paulie Dotz. Paul DeTino back in the house. Paul, how have you been surviving the last couple months without football?
Because the truth of the matter is, as you know, we do a lot of college basketball together over the last few months after football season.
And now that's over.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, the NFL and the Giants, that's like my filet mignon. And college basketball is like my hamburger. I mean, it's good. It's a meal. But it's not the NFL and it's not the New York Football Giants. But it'll do. Well, that's kind of wrapped up now, too, because, as you know, you and I work conference games, and so we don't have anything to do with the NCAA tournament. So it's simply watch the tournament and enjoy that, but kind of try to keep track now of NFL free agency and preparing for the draft. Now, I just said to you before we came on the air, the draft being pushed back till May is a problem for me, because usually by this time, I have already narrowed down the top four rounds of what I want the Giants to do. I have, you know, done my cut-ups. I've talked to my people. I've really got a pretty good focus on what's going on. And I've also made a lot of phone calls to do background checks on some of the prospects. Not doing that right now because the draft is in May. It's been pushed back a couple of weeks.
We still have a month and a half at this point.
So there's a long way to go. So for me to start doing those kinds of things right now, it's still a little bit too early. And the reason I say that is because, as you know, John, because you've been here every day, the Giants have been very busy burning up the phone lines. Well, you can't really do all of your draft work, at least if you're somebody on the outside, until you understand what the team has done on the inside.
Correct.
And they are probably done with free agency.
Well, at least according to the Giants owner, John Mara, so that's probably a pretty good clue.
Okay, but, for example, the other day there was a report that came out that I guess Zach Bowman, the corner from the Bears, was apparently all of a sudden another name that popped up out of the blue in connection with the Giants. The signing of Jerry, the Dolphins offensive lineman the other day, quite frankly, caught me by surprise.
These are all going to be some low – if they do make any moves, there'll be some low-level signings, depth, not necessarily big splashes for starters.
But, see, that's relevant to a guy like me who's trying to go four rounds deep into the draft.
It's impossible to go four rounds deep in the draft.
It is.
How are you going to predict who the Giants are going to pick in the fourth round if you don't know who they pick in rounds one through three?
It's a great exercise.
No, it's a futile exercise.
No, I love it. I love doing it. I love doing it.
It's
because
futile.
It's what keeps me busy. So, and that's a good thing, John.
Yeah, that is true.
So I don't come and bother you all the time.
Thank God.
So, no, but you know what? I mean, look at what the Giants have done, and then look at what still needs to be done. They clearly need another offensive lineman. They clearly need a tight end. They clearly need another defensive lineman for depth purposes, and they clearly need another wide receiver for depth purposes. Those are the thin spots on this roster.
Those are the four spots they have to hit. There's no question about it.
So, is it possible, and I've been telling people this now for a while on Twitter, and we've talked about this even a few weeks ago, the last time I was here, Miles Austin, on a dirt cheap deal, is probably not a bad depth guy for wide receiver. Now, I don't think Miles Austin's signing anywhere until after the draft, quite frankly.
Well, yeah, because he's going to want to wait to see if a team is desperate with a need, or perhaps even wait till after June 1st when teams get some more money under the cap when all these post-June 1st cuts kick in.
Exactly. So if you're him, you're not going to sign anything right now.
Paul, I want no part of Miles Austin. I got to be honest with you. I want no part of him.
But see, the Giants need right now, in my mind, they need to upgrade the fourth and fifth receiver spots.
I agree with that 100%.
And I wouldn't mind if one of them's a veteran and one of them is a rookie. I'm good with that. It doesn't have to be two rookies. I don't want two veterans, though. I'll go one and one, or I'll go
I agree. I think the Giants will draft a wide receiver this year. I don't think there's any question in my mind about it.
So now the question becomes, how deep do you go and what style, bless you, Nile, what style do you want to go? It's okay. People know he's here. What style do you want to go? Do you want to go for the big guy? You want to go for a little guy? You want to go for a speed guy? You want to go for a hands guy? There are a lot of things in play here. But anyway.
Well, it doesn't seem to make sense to pick a slot guy considering you already have Cruz and Jernigan on the
roster. I don't think it'll be a slot guy. But will it be a hands guy? A possession guy? Will it be a tall guy? Will it be a speed guy?
And how high do you pick him?
All very relevant questions.
How much do you believe in Reuben Randall? How much do you believe in Jarrell Jernigan? They're all fair questions.
All relevant questions.
Okay, I want to go through some of the free agency stuff with you before we get to the draft, then we'll get to your calls in just a second at 201-939-4513. I work my way backwards here. The most recent signing, which happened late on Friday afternoon, John Jerry coming over from the Miami Dolphins. Obviously, all the reports are, why would the Giants bring in this guy who was named in the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito report, which me and you have been pretty consistent that we thought that whole thing was kind of overblown from the beginning. And
by the way, he must be here this morning because there's no breakfast food inside the kitchen.
I think they knew you were coming, so they didn't put anything out for you. And the offseason, not the players, Paul, there is no breakfast food there. That's how that works. I realize you don't show up when it's not the season because, you're taking a lot of time off and you're lazy.
There you go.
That's how things work in the offseason. But to me, he'll get some questions about that the first day of training camp, then they'll go away, and nobody's going to care anymore. And then
As long as he doesn't get disciplined by the league. Because
correct.
Apparently the commissioner still has some more deliberations to go through. If he does penalize Jerry, then those questions become a little bit more relevant.
And that's fair, and it'll be questions as much for the Giants front office for the reason they signed him not finding out that was a possibility, theoretically, because John Mara did say they did not talk to the league before making
correct.
The signing of John Jerry. So that's something to keep an eye on, but he does provide to me good veteran depth on the offensive line, just in case Chris Knee can't make it back. Maybe Brandon Mosley and James Brewer simply don't make the advances they need them to make. He's a good veteran that could provide some depth inside.
Yeah, he's an interesting player in that he's a better pass protector than he is a run blocker.
Right.
And it doesn't fit his frame. He should be a better run blocker. Look at the guy.
And frankly, at guard, it's not that difficult to be a good pass protector at guard. You want a guy that can push the pile.
He should be a much more physical kind of player. And quite honestly, when he came out of school, he was projected to be a pretty good lineman in this league. And he's underachieved with the Dolphins because of, apparently, A, attitude, B, a little bit lazy and overweight, and C, it kind of applies to lazy. He didn't apply himself. He did not decide to make himself better. Maybe the guy just needs to grow up. But he's here now, and it's up to the Giants to see if they can bring something out of him. I agree with you in that he's a veteran who's proven he can at least play in this league, maybe not as good as he should have, but he's at least played in the league. But what I like about it is he could also play some tackle. And you and I look at this roster and say, well, let's see, Will Beatty's coming off injury.
Well, right now they don't really have a backup tackle.
And, yeah, I mean, Pugh's fine over there now, but Beatty's coming off injury, and the third tackle is James Brewer right now.
Giants really don't have much of a backup tackle right now.
Bingo.
Because Brewer, if he's a backup, he's probably a backup guard before he's a backup tackle, let's be honest.
If he makes this team,
right,
he should be a backup guard more than a backup tackle. But right now he's the third tackle until Jerry gets in here and proves that he's physically okay. Because I don't even know. Has he been on premises yet?
I'm not sure about that.
Because he's got to be on premises past his physical side of his contract.
I have not. Well, the Giants did announce it with an email that they
brought him in.
That's
right. So he did sign through
everything,
fax,
everything is official.
I guess he
signed. He might have been here late Friday. I'm not sure.
Okay. So he, I would think, immediately moves into that third tackle spot. I would think. Or at least it's his job to try to win.
Has he played tackle in the NFL?
Yes. Oh,
he
yeah.
Has? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's played tackle.
Good.
But, again, he's underachieved.
Okay, well, I want to stick on the offensive line here, Paul, because it would appear that, which is a surprise to me, that the Giants have decided to put all their eggs in Walton's basket at center, which to me is a bit of a surprise. Like, that hasn't played nearly two seasons. I know he was a third-round pick. He struggled his first couple years in the league. He was better for the first couple games of 2012 before he got hurt. And it would seem with the guaranteed money they gave him, the two-year deal, that they're penciling him in to be the starting center next year. And that was their decision. And in retrospect, considering both Ryan Wendell and Brian De La Puente are still available, I wonder if that was something that they should have done so early in free agency, commit to a guy that really, frankly, is a bit of a risk.
I don't think there's any doubt it's a risk. What we don't know is, John, when he came out of school, he had a good grade on him.
He was a third-round pick.
He had a good grade on him. I know that. He was a, quote, starting player.
Well, if you're a center, you're picked in the third round, you're expected to be a starter.
Yeah, you should
No
be.
Question.
You should be. Now, I don't know what they thought of him then and if he was somebody who they strongly wanted, strongly considered, and maybe that plays into this.
I think a lot of that
because
does.
We don't know.
I think what the college scouts see from these guys when they come out of school, especially if they're still young, does play because people remember where they had these guys on the draft board when they did so much work on them.
Yeah. Now, again, we can't confirm that. We
right.
don't know that, but I would suspect
it does.
It's a guess.
I think it's an educated guess,
okay.
for sure.
So I think that probably weighs heavily and more strongly on their decision to sign him than the injury or, quite honestly, I mean, look at this depth chart. I mean, what's there at center?
I mean, without Kevin Booth back, the Giants don't have a backup center right now.
I mean, Jim Cordell has not come back, and I don't think he will come back here. Quite honestly.
We'll see. But right now, they do not have a backup center
okay.
on the roster. That's correct.
So you put all this stuff together, the need for a center, plus the fact that maybe they really liked this guy a couple of years ago, and so they're taking a bit of a flyer. You're right, though, about the guaranteed money. I was a bit surprised to see that because it looks like they're committing to him more than what the risk should be. Now, here's the other thing, though. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe two things are going to happen. By the end of the summer, the Giants will have another veteran center either in here to compete with Dallas Reynolds, who really right now is kind of the backup center. Kind of.
Yes, he is. And he did start in Philly at center 2 years ago.
He started before.
Correct.
So he's kind of the backup center right now. I don't know that he's got a spot on this team. I don't know if he's going to make the team. But for the moment, he's kind of the backup center. I do think that they likely would bring in another veteran center at some point by the end of the summer. And I also believe that there's a very good chance that when they draft an offensive lineman coming up in May, that guy is going to show the versatility to be able to play center in this league. Either that or, and here's what an NFL personnel guy said to me, and folks, this is totally unofficial. Okay, let's make this very clear, totally unofficial. An NFL personnel guy said to me, if I'm the Giants, I'm training Justin Pugh right now to start taking snaps at center. I'm working with him him ready because there may be a chance he's going to have to play some of that.
And the funny thing about it, if you remember when Jerry Reese was asked about Pugh's versatility when he got drafted, he said, we think he would play four positions in the offensive line. Heck, he's never done it, but we think he can play center too. So the Giants have said in the past that they believe it's something he can do.
But how seriously have they bridged that
Probably
with
not.
Him?
Probably
I don't
not
know.
Much.
I don't know. But this personnel guy said to me, if I'm the Giants, I'm already getting him trained as a potential center, if not a backup or a starter, whatever. I'm already starting to train him a little bit as a center now in the offseason, long before they get to training camp. And that's not a bad idea.
Okay. I want to touch on the draft and the offensive line with you real quick. I don't want to go through all the signs. We'll be here 2.5 hours. I want to get to the calls. We'll kind of cycle through everything as we talk to our callers. Both of us still believe the Giants need to add an offensive line guy in the draft. I know last we spoke before free agency, you were adamant about needing to draft a first-round offensive lineman. Are you still of that opinion after all the moves the Giants have made in the offseason?
Without question, yes.
You still want your a future starting tackle with your first round pick?
I do. And
so you're that adamant about wanting to move Pugh inside?
Yeah, I'd like to very much do that at some point.
Why?
Because I believe that if you can build your offensive line from scratch and know that those guys will be here 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road, it alleviates a whole lot of problems for you.
Even if you can add a guy that can do that for you inside in the second round, a guy that's going to start for you for 7, 8, 9 years inside, leave Pugh outside starting there, you still get a starter for 8 or 9 years, but you only use a second-round pick on him.
Because I think that Justin Pugh's got the potential to be an excellent, excellent guard where he's just a very good tackle. So
well, here's the question, too.
I want to maximize his potential,
right.
And if I can get an excellent tackle, I'm getting one.
how much of this is a hedging of your bets on Will Beattie at left tackle?
There's part of that in the equation.
That, I think, to me, is the better argument. That part of the argument I would buy into a lot more than the wanting to move Pugh inside.
It's part of the equation. It's not as significant as the overall philosophy of getting powerful young studs to play that offensive line, because I'd like to get that position fortified so that I know it doesn't have to be touched for many years down the road.
Now, just to add on to that, that means you're okay going into next season with your if you're picking an offensive lineman
around one. I'm picking Zach Martin if he's there at 12 is who I'm picking.
Okay. You're picking him over Lawan?
Oh, without question. That's not even close. Again, I had an NFL personnel guy tell me this week, at best, Lawan is now a second-round pick on some boards because of his risk.
But everyone knew that was coming down the pike anyway.
And it's only gotten worse.
Yeah, but to me, is that if he was being projected to be a top 15 pick when people knew it was coming, now that it's come, why would he drop a whole round
in
the draft?
There are teams who have already dropped him to, at best, second round. I can tell you that's
even
a fact.
Even though he's the more talented player.
I can tell you that is a fact. I don't know how many teams,
right,
but I know it is a fact. He has now dropped to be a second round risk for some teams. Are the Giants one of them? I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Okay, so here's back to my original question then. If you're going to pick your starting offensive lineman in the first round, that's fine. I understand the argument. I'll buy it. That means you're okay right now with the weapons Eli Manning is going to have an offense going to next year. You think you can win enough football games with Victor Cruz being your only proven legitimate weapon on offense? Because that's what you're going to have.
No. Legitimate proven right now? You know,
and you aren't getting a different changing right away weapon in round two.
You don't.
You're getting a guy that can help. You're not getting a guy that can be a huge difference maker.
I think Nicholas could be a really good tight end in this league.
He'd be fine, but he's a possession receiver, Paul. He's not going to stretch the field. He's not going
to
draw double teams.
I don't want him to.
Yeah, but you can get a guy that can do that in round one if you use your pick on a skill guy.
Don't want him.
You think Eli Manning has enough to be a very successful quarterback in terms of weapons next year?
I think right now between Randall and Cruz, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to get another receiver in here. It's going to be a veteran, and there's going to be a draft pick. I could draft. There were four rounds of starting wide receivers in this draft.
I think you're pushing it a four. I think you're looking at 2.5.
It depends on how high you're talking about. Are you talking about guys who could potentially be Pro Bowl guys, or are you talking about guys who could start?
Well, I need a guy that can start right away. Or at least close to
it. I've
been
told there are four rounds of starting wide receivers.
Yeah, but no. But when personnel people call guys starting wide receivers, that's guys that could start in 2 or 3 years.
They're grading these guys a little higher. By the end of the season, guys could be rotational guys immediately and be good enough to start on some teams by the end of the season.
Hey, look, I agree, and I think the wide receiver class is deep. I would not suggest taking a wide receiver in the first round. I think it's a little high, because I think you can get a good player in the second round and be okay. But, Paul, to me, tight end is the biggest hole this team has. The tight end position is a mess. It's a mess.
There's nobody there.
Exactly. That's a problem.
It is. But, see, again, like I just said to you, and this is all part of the whole draft thing, what are they going to have by the time they get to the draft? I still believe, and again, I have been making calls around the league. One thing I was told is the Giants – are expected to sign a veteran tight end after June 1st. At least that's what people around the league believe.
Well, that's great. It's going to be a veteran tight end, but it's going to be a starting caliber veteran tight end.
We don't know the answer to that because we don't know who's getting caught.
Well, but I know who's on the market now,
right,
and I can tell you there's not a whole lot there.
No. Who's getting cut, though? I don't know the answer to that. But I was told after June 1st, look for a veteran tight end to be signed by the Giants.
They'll use some of that David Boss money that gets freed up to bring in a tight end.
But Who? I don't have the answer to that.
See, I think you need to walk away from your draft in May with the starting tight end. I don't think you have a choice at this point.
Okay.
I think you've put yourself into a box.
That's first. Second thing is, yes, I would draft a tight end. And no question. I believe that Nicholas is a better all-around, more polished, more pro-ready tight end than Ebron is. Ebron has blocking deficiencies right now.
He has, no question.
And I want no part of him at pick 12. Absolutely, positively, no way.
I could not disagree more.
And that's fine. You know, I don't want anybody who even closely resembles Brandon Myers. And I'm not telling you they're the same player, but the same style of player.
Let me explain something to you.
You did not just compare Eric Ebron to Brandon Myers,
Paul. I'm not comparing the players. I'm comparing the philosophies. I need a Dan Campbell type.
No, see, I disagree. I think the Giants at this point with where they are, they need someone that can make plays.
Okay. Now, what I've been telling people on Twitter is I've never talked to McAdoo. You have. I've not talked to McAdoo personally. If he comes, and we know, from the West Coast style, from New Orleans, San Francisco, Green Bay, and they've had pass-catching tight ends on those offenses. Mm-hmm. If he says, look, I really need, you know, Ebron or Ebron. I'm not even sure how he says it anymore.
I believe it's Ebron.
Ebron.
Yes.
I think it is, too, but I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to offend the guy. But if he really wants this guy because he fits his style of offense and begs and begs and, you know, bashes his fist against the door and says, look, this has got to be the way it's got to be because it's got to work that way, it tells us a lot about what he wants to do and how much weight the Giants put in his opinion if they draft the kid from North Carolina. Okay? And that evidence is going to speak for itself.
No question about it.
But I come from the old school. I want the Ballards, the Bosses, the Dan Campbells, the Bavaros, the Zeke Moats. Those guys were team first, block first, blood and guts protect my quarterback. I'll catch the third down and 13 and get the first down for you. I'll get the touchdown occasionally when you need the touchdown, but I'm not after the Sports Center highlight. I'm not after the 8 catches for 95 yards. That's not what I want out of my tight end.
See, I don't think you need, in the way the NFL is now, I think you need your tight end to be able to block in the running game. I don't think you need them to be a pass protector. Because you're going to use your running back out of the backfield for that. And you're rarely going to match protect
him. Ebron is not a very good run blocker.
Right now he's not, but I believe he has the body where he could develop into that. It's not like you're dealing with Brandon Myers, who's 6'2", 240 here. You're dealing with a 6'5 guy that's 250, 260.
I'm using Myers not to compare them as players, but to compare the philosophy. Brandon Myers was brought here to be a pass-catching tight end, to help open up the passing game, to help open things up for the wide receivers, to help get the ball downfield. And what happened?
Yeah, but he's a possession receiver. There's a difference.
I don't want my tight end to be a receiver first. It's just that simple. I come from the old school. I don't want it. I don't think
but
the
you
Giants
love, you
are
love
better.
Shockey.
Shockey was a darn good blocker. He just didn't always want to apply himself.
Shockey had the capability of blocking, but he didn't like to do it. He wanted to be a receiver.
Okay.
That's what he wanted to
do. And so does this guy. Ebron wants to be a receiver. If he wanted to be a blocker, he would have made himself a better blocker by now after being at North Carolina for 3 years.
I agree.
But
he prefers to play wide receiver. And blocking right now is a deficiency for him. There's no question about it.
All right, Jimmy Graham is having the same problem right now in New Orleans, where he thinks of himself as a wide receiver and wants that wide receiver tender and wants all that wide receiver money.
So even if I told you that, and this will be the last question I ask Paul before we get to your quotes. You guys have been very patient. I appreciate it. Even if I told you that Eric Ebron could be a slightly better blocking version than Jimmy Graham, he could be Tony Gonzalez. I'm giving you Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates with Eric Ebron in the first round. Neither of those guys really like to block. They're catching tight ends. They get down the field. They're tall. They're reliable wide receivers.
Right.
You wouldn't want him in round one.
No, because I'm still going offensive line.
Okay. Fair enough. And honestly, Paul, and I've been having conversations. I've told people while I would prefer to go a guy like Ebron in round one and pick a starting guard or center in round two. That's what I would do. That's how I would handle it.
It's fair.
And I would also think about taking a defensive end in round two if the right guy is there to rush the passer, too, to be quite honest with you. And I think you can get an interior offensive lineman in round three that can start, too, for that matter. But I get that, and I understand picking the tackle in round one because of the beady stuff, which we talked about. To me, when you pick 12th in the draft, I don't want to get a very good offensive lineman. I would like to try to get at 12 someone that could be a game-changing type of player if they're on the board. And I think at 12, if Evans is gone, I think Mike Evans is going to be off the board at that point. I think Ebron
really
is
good,
that.
By the way.
I know he is. Ebron to me can be a game-changing offensive altering type of weapon on that side of the football. And right now, quite frankly, with the personnel in the Giants offense, besides Victor Cruz, and he at this point barely qualifies as that, no one else even comes close. And it's hard to win in this league when you don't have game-changing players on offense.
It would be easier for me to buy into that if the Giants offensive line was a bruising, crushing, young line
that did everything very, very well. But it is a line that is in progress right now. It's a work in progress.
I agree with that.
And because of that, I have a very strong need for a blocking first tight end. And if the line was differently constructed, if these guys, if this was the line, let's just say for argument's sake, that played the Patriots in Super Bowl 42, I would feel differently.
What if you brought in a blocking first veteran tight end in free agency? That could be that guy for you, Ben Hartstock, someone like that.
That would make a difference.
Okay.
But,
two on.
But they don't have one right now.
They don't. 9-3-9.
And that's why I said to you, I can't really project my draft picks as well as I'd like to because I'm still not 100% sure of who's on their free agency want list. Nobody is.
I think it's probably fair to say that they'll probably try to add a veteran tight end. Just because of what the roster looks like, I think it makes sense.
And so is that veteran tight end going to be a block-first guy, or is he going to be a catch-first guy? We don't know who's coming open or available on June 1st. We just don't know.
The way I see it, I think you're more likely to get a block-first guy because most tight ends coming out of school, and while Nick Loss coming out of tight end is a very good blocker, obviously, you know, rookies,
I like
still
him a
technique
lot.
Stuff. I know he's 270, 6'5", 6'6". He looks like a tight end that would play for the Giants. He does. I also like the Austin Seferian Williams kid out of Washington. I think he could play a little bit too.
Yeah.
And he also blocked in line a lot at Washington last year. So I think he's another guy the Giants could like. Jason Morrow is, if you want to make a Brandon Myers comparison,
want
Jason
no
Morrow.
Part of him.
There's your guy.
Want no part
That's
of him.
Brandon Myers part, do it, with
want
a little bit more
no
athleticism.
Part of him.
201-939-4513. You guys have been very patient. Sorry for taking so long. I tried to talk some sense to Paul. I failed as normal. But let's go to Omar in New York first. Omar, you've been holding the longest. What's up, buddy?
John Schmelk, Paul Dottino, thank you for taking my call this morning.
You're welcome.
I'm a long time listener, first-time caller, and I want to thank you on the behalf of all the fans for being the pulse of Big Blue in this time of year where we have to kind of suffer without football today. But here's what I got. I want to make a case today for Florida State wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin. All right, I want to take you gentlemen back to 2004. Ooh. This was a year where a lot of people were tough on Eli. He was still coming of age, turning into the person that we now know him as, which is elite. And in 2005, the Giants made arguably one of the best signings in Giants history by bringing in a guy named Plaxico Burress.
Yes.
Now, this guy out of Florida State, Kelvin Benjamin, he reminds me of Plaxico in every way, shape, and form. This kid came to the school looking like an NFL player. And now, while I am from Brooklyn, New York, I spent some time in Tallahassee, and I got a chance to see this kid live. And this Jerry Reese, if you're listening, is a kid you do not want to miss out on. Now, I like Paul's comments earlier because I truly believe that what the Giants need at tight end is a tight end that can block, be an extra offensive lineman for Eli, and give him the ability to enhance the running game by having somebody who blocks first. And when you're talking about game-changing wide receivers, Kelvin Benjamin is that guy when you just look purely at the stats. Now, I know everybody likes Mike Evans, but no offense to those people, I just don't see him being there for us at 12. Kelvin Benjamin arguably is a better receiver, in my opinion, because he came out of a school at Florida State where they hosted almost three receivers at 1,000 yards, while Mike Evans posted 1,300 yards, but no other receiver cleared 900 on the team outside of him. But Kelvin Benjamin had 15 touchdowns. Mike Evans only had 12 touchdowns last year. And what's been the biggest problem the Giants have been having? The green zone. We're not getting the ball in the end zone in the green zone. This guy is a matchup nightmare at 6'5", 240. You want size, John Smoke? This is the size you're looking for. This is why Ebron is the sexy pick to everybody. He's that mismatch. He's that size nightmare.
The only thing that I want to say, if I can interrupt you for half a second, when you talk about the Giants' inefficiencies and what Coughlin calls the green zone, that starts with the offensive line and the lack of a consistent power running game.
That's the primary
reason why the Giants don't score more touchdowns. So please don't use that as part of your argument. The rest of your stuff is okay.
Well, you've got to understand. There's one other problem with the argument. Kelvin Benjamin does not have the speed Plaxico Burress had. What does it tell you when a guy refuses to run the 40 dash at his pro day? It tells you his time's going to stink, and that's why he doesn't want to run.
Actually, Burris timed in the mid 4.5s when he came out.
But 4.5s isn't bad. Mike Evans ran a 4.5.
Benjamin,
that's fine.
I'm looking up the 40 for Benjamin. The 40 I have for him is 4.61.
Exactly. Which a wide receiver at 4.6 is very mediocre. And the fact he refused to run at his pro day tells me he was running 40s to prepare for his pro day, and his times were no good. And they were probably worse than the 4.61 that he put up at the combine.
Benjamin, to me, is a second rounder. Let me make something very clear. There's no way if they pick him at 12 that I'm happy with
him. No, and Omar, I agree with you. Kelvin Benjamin is a good player. I think he would help the Giants if they picked him. But I'm with Paul. To me, he's a guy at his best is going to get picked in the 20s in the first round, and that's if he jumps on draft boards a lot. To me, he is not a guy that has enough talent in every facet of the game to be an option at 12.
I can hear what you're saying there. The kid is also 23 years old, and a lot of the knocks on him, you got to understand that he can improve as a player and get better. He's an investment. But at the same time, when you talk about reach and what's a reach and what's actually drafting somebody too high, I mean, when we look at guys like Russell Wilson, you know, he was drafted in the third round, but now he's a Super Bowl champion. Would you say he's a reach? I mean, you can't really determine all those things, right off the bat.
There is one other thing, though, that you have to understand, my friend. Seriously, I understand that Benjamin has talent and he's got tools. But the folks at Florida State will also tell you he's had some dropsies. Now, is that something that is because the balls weren't put where they should have been because he was in college and wasn't necessarily getting thrown to by the best quarterbacks in the world? And can Eli Manning help that with his accuracy? Perhaps. But it's something that's going to downgrade him. When you talk about where he deserves to be and where he should be slotted, the drops he's at Florida State is going to be part of the reason he falls a few notches.
Yeah, and Omar, another thing too on Benjamin very quickly, a lot of the, you know, you look at a lot of the draft experts, some people have him ranked as the fourth or fifth best wide receiver in the class. Some people have Odell Beckham Jr. ahead of him. Some people have Brandon Cooks ahead of him. Some people have Marquise Lee ahead of him. So, to me, he's not even your hands-down third-best wide receiver in the draft class, assuming you believe Lockett and Evans are 1-2.
I do agree with that, but what he does fit is what the Giants would need right now, which is that tall guy. You know, they tried to draft Ramsey Barden. You know, they've really been struggling to
How'd
find
work
a guy
out?
That could replace well. It didn't work out well. It didn't work. But I don't think Ramsey Barden and Kelvin Benjamin are even in the same league.
No, they're not. That's fair.
I don't think so either.
So, I like what you guys said. I want to thank you for taking my call today. I just feel that over time, when we look 3 years down the road, a lot of those other receivers that you named ahead of Kelvin Benjamin will be afterthoughts because 6'5", 240, that's where the league's going. Calvin Johnson, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, you name these guys, this is what the league is going. And, you know, when you got a skill guy like that that's available for you, you got to pick him.
Before you go, let me ask you one thing. Did you do any research on Jordan Matthews out of Vanderbilt?
I've heard a little bit about him. He's a great player as well.
Okay, he's one of those guys.
I haven't seen him personally. I've seen Kelvin Benjamin live.
Try to get some video on the internet on Jordan Matthews out of Vanderbilt because
6'3", 212.
Yes, and the 40 time that I've got for him is 4.46, okay? Now, he's not in the top 6, 7, or 8 receivers on a lot of boards. He is a deep second-round pick who is one of those guys who in another year would probably be higher and is one of those guys who I was saying to John before where people are telling me there's a lot of wide receivers who are going to be able to start this league.
Looking, for example,
he's one of those guys.
At ESPN Scout Inc. rankings, if you look at that, he's the 8th best wide receiver
is
on the
eight?
Board and the 54th best overall player. So that is a mid to late second round pick just like you mentioned.
Okay, and here's a guy who's got in the 4.4s. Okay, his time that I have him registered for is 4.46. And at 6'3", 212, you know, that's a pretty good size. So take a look at him if you're saying to yourself, okay, the Giants need to get a speedy, big, tall wide receiver who can make some plays, but maybe they're not going to do it in round one. Maybe they don't even do it in round two. He might even be there early round three.
Thank you, Omar.
I would love it. Thanks, guys.
Hey, great call. That was a very, very good educated call there out of Omar. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. And another guy, too, that you know has some size that could be picked down the road, the Rutgers kid, Brandon Coleman, he could be a late-round pick. He's 6'6", doesn't have a ton of speed.
No.
I mean, there are some other guys with some size that can get picked later on in the draft.
He'd be
that
more
a lot
of an Eddie
people
McCaffrey type,
do
if
like.
You remember him.
Correct. That is correct. He's more of a possession receiver over the middle type of guy. 201-939-4513. Dante Moncrief out of Mississippi, a guy that's around 6'3". 220, and a lot of people like him is a bigger wide receiver the Giants could target late. But like we talked about, this is a pretty deep wide receiver draft. You can get guys that can help you down the road later. I just think you need to find somebody that can help you now offensively, because I'm just worried that they don't have the number of weapons that they need on offense, considering how poor the offense played last year. 201-939-4513. Andrew's in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. I have the answer at wide receiver.
What do you got?
Plexico, Ed Ramsey, Spartan. Two tall guys. No, I'm only kidding. And I think, Paul, it's good to hear you back.
Thank you.
And I think you'll like my comment later. My dad's here. After he makes his comment, can you put me back on?
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead, Andrew.
Luckily, the Giants only draft high probably once every 10 years, if that, because they're a good organization. So with a higher pick, how about taking a defensive end? And also, since they didn't fight harder for Justin Tuck, does that mean that JPP is healthy? That's my question and comment.
Well, I would say, first things first, I think Tuck was just a financial decision. I think the Giants hope JPP is healthy. I think the proof will be in the pudding when he starts taking some contact. Probably you're not going to know really much about JPP in that shoulder until he starts taking some hits in exhibition games. You know, things can be structurally sound. If you remember Tuck's shoulder, Paul, I mean, that thing was designed, you know, deemed to be healthy a couple times, then you keep re-aggravating the thing. So that's something you have to watch. I don't think value meets need in the first round of defensive end. I think you can find a guy that can help you there in rounds two or three, Tim. Why don't you put your Andrew, I'm sorry, why don't you put your dad on for me?
I will, and hopefully DeMontre Moore will be a good pass rusher. And after he makes his comment, Paul will hopefully like my comment.
All right,
here's my dad.
All right. What's up, Andrew Sr.?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, the Giants are going to be drafting. Now, the draft is heavy on offensive linemen. Don't take an offensive lineman first round. I'll tell you who to take. Take a replacement for Eli. Now, I like Eli, and I think he's got another couple of years left in him. But you got to get somebody to replace him. Look at the teams that made the Super Bowl. Every one of them practically, unless they were super teams, made the Super Bowl because of their quarterback. There's my father.
Thank you, Andrew Sr.
The pick, I think Paul will like. David Carr's little brother seems like one of the top quarterbacks coming out. And also, I would like to see David Carr finish his career as Eli's backup for the next year or two. And we could let Painter go, maybe IR, Nassib for the four-week IR or something like that. But I'd like to see both Carr brothers on the Giants roster this spring. What are your thoughts on that?
Thank you, Andrew Squared. We appreciate it. Go ahead, Paul.
They want to take a quarterback in round one. How loud do you want me to scream?
Give it a shot.
No! I'm not even going to address that. I'm just going to go right to the defensive end line of thought. Kareem Martin out of North Carolina is a very intriguing prospect to me because he's a big guy, physical stature, makes a lot of plays off the edge, and is your typical hand-in-the-dirt defensive end as opposed to some of these undersized guys who are situational defensive ends. Perhaps in the second round for Martin, if you should be so lucky in the third round if you want to add defensive line depth, that would be a guy that I would look to at either day two or three.
Right.
And you know.
And there are a lot of players that people believe can be a starting defensive end that you're going to get in round two and even early round three.
It's
They're
not
there.
A good first round, though, for defensive
It is not. Ends. I mean, you're going to have maybe Ely go in the first round, but that's probably early 20s, something like that.
Yeah.
And that might be the only defensive end besides Kleiner that even goes in the first round.
And they're more situational guys
right.
as opposed to somebody you could just play and say, okay, look, just be part of our rotation. I'm really not happy. We're not thrilled with folks who want to draft these undersized defensive ends and say, look, I want him to be the situational pass rusher coming from that defensive end spot. the
linebacker. One guy somebody mentioned, and it's on Twitter, Anthony Barr, who was a 3-4 linebacker in college. People have talked about bringing him to try to play Sam. Pick him in the first round, then you put his hand in the dirt on third downs.
I don't want no part of that.
I agree. To me, if you're picking a guy at 12, I want to pick a guy that played the position you're drafting him at in college, and it's going to be a more seamless transition. You know, I'm not picking a guy you want to change positions on.
I'll give you a great example of one of those guys who I just thought they loved him here with the Giants, and they really believed that he would be one of those substitutional, long-range passing down. Let's make him one of those undersized defensive end guys, Adrian Tracy.
I was about to say that was going to be my guess as to the guy you're talking about.
You know what? Just keep him far away from this place. I want no part of anybody who's going to be in that mold.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to our phone and say what's up to Justin in Dobbs Ferry. Justin, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Justin. How about you?
Good. We're talking about all these roster moves. If you think about it, on the Giants roster, there's only four guys remaining that won both Super Bowls.
Yes.
Now, well, I'm sorry?
You're correct.
Yeah, so moving forward, it's like it's crazy to see that, you know, all these guys are leaving. But if Luan is going second round, do you think he's early enough second round where the Giants could go with Ebron first round and then see if they could pick up Luan second round, or will he, you think he'll be gone before the Giants pick, you know, second round pick?
Well, John and I talked about the tight end before, and I want no part of a tight end in the first round. Yeah. He's willing to do so. And I get that. I don't think anybody's wrong on this.
And at the same time, I understand why you'd want to pick an offensive lineman.
And
I
get
your
point, too.
Right.
It's an agree-to-disagree situation.
Exactly.
And a lot of it's going to depend on how strong McAdoo is in his philosophy and how much he can bend Tom Coughlin's arm into saying, look, I really want to implement a lot of this other passing stuff that I've used in the past. I mean, remember, Tom Coughlin is not your typical West Coast type of head coach now. He doesn't believe in any of those things.
And, Paul, I've been warning fans since the McAdoo signing, don't expect some full-out West Coast offense to be installed here. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, Tom is not going to turn over his whole kitchen to this guy. He's not going to do it.
No, I understand that. I was just wondering if they could sneak something in.
But here's what I would say.
Not go for offensive line and get maybe Luan.
Yeah, here's what I will say to the second part of your question. It's been expressed to me that there are a lot of teams, as I said, who view Luan as a second-round risk at best. I was also told don't be surprised if there are some teams who have wiped him off their board entirely.
Wow.
And don't want him.
Wow.
Okay.
That seems a little drastic to me, considering this incident was
well
known.
But here's the thing. This is only the tip of the iceberg, though. There are people who apparently know a lot about Luan who say he is just simply not a good guy. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
That's interesting.
And a trend as to what this guy's about. Now, anybody who takes him is going to do a significant psychological study on him, a background check on him, and they're going to have to be sold that he is going to mature and is going to be a good citizen, and the players in their locker room are going to be able to control him. And so if the Giants do wind up taking him, it's going to be because of those reasons. Now, in reference to where he goes, one of the same NFL guys I talked to said, if you're the Giants and you don't get that stud offensive lineman in the first round that you really think you want, and Luan's sitting there in round number 2, I guess they pick at 43.
I don't see it, Paul.
He's not. I don't see it either. But he said to me, if you were the Giants, you might strongly consider him there.
Yeah, of course you do.
Believing that Tom Coughlin and this locker room could keep this kid in line.
Of course you pick him. He's a starting caliber left tackle. He's a franchise left tackle. If he's there in round 2, which I think there's a 5% chance he's there, I'd be shocked if he's there in round 2.
Okay, but now remember the comment. Don't be surprised that if some teams have actually wiped him off their board. If you're to believe that comment has any legitimacy at all, for all I know, the Giants may be one of those teams. I don't know that, John.
Right.
I feel compelled to give the complete answer.
No, that's good.
Because that's what I'm picking up in calling around the league.
Well, I just don't want to have fans calling for 3 weeks telling me the Giants are going to get Terrell Lewan around 3. I don't want to, and round 2. I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to blame you if I do.
I will tell you this. I will tell you this, okay? You may or may not know that there are guys who, for whatever reasons, get disqualified off a team's
board. No, that is true.
And are told.
For injuries or for off-the-field stuff.
You know what? We're not taking him, period. Don't even think about him. We're taking him off the wall.
That's true.
And we're not taking him. That's it.
Right.
No matter how good he is.
Right.
We're not taking him. There is a player who the Giants have taken in the last 10 years, and I will tell you he was taken in the first half of the draft that day. I will not tell you who he is. And I happen to know for a fact, because I've heard it from too many personnel people in the NFL, this guy was deemed undraftable by a number of franchises. Undraftable.
I already guessed who it is.
Cannot be taken. He does not exist. The Giants saw fit to take a shot.
How'd that work out?
Not as well as they wanted. So it happens, John. It happens.
And by the way, Michael on Twitter is upset that we compared Anthony Barr to Adrian Tracy. Look, the talent level between the two players isn't what we were comparing.
Again.
Obviously, Anthony Barr is a much better football player now than probably Adrian Tracy ever will be or ever was. But the point is, you don't want to take a guy and try to convert him from one position to another when you're picking him that
early. It's like before when I brought up Myers and talking about Ebron. This is not about the players. We're talking about a philosophy
right.
here.
And Michael points out Barr is more like Von Miller, and he worked out pretty well for Denver. Well, yeah, that's great.
In Denver's scheme
right.
and with their personnel.
Yes. That's not necessarily a fit here.
I don't think it is.
201-939-4513. Let's go to the phone and say what's up to Shakes in Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, pal?
What's going on, man?
How are you?
I had to take it off speaker real quick.
That's all right.
Oh, man. Listen, I wanted to jump in on what y'all was talking about. Pauly D, like, I agree with you, man. I don't really feel comfortable taking a tight end in the first round. And if I do take a tight end in the first round, he better be a complete tight end that knows how to block, you know, a la Shockey. You know what I mean? And y'all poo-pooping on Shockey's blocking ability because y'all say, oh, he's very good, but he wasn't willing. That guy was great.
Oh, no, Shake. Jeremy Shockey, when he blocked, he was a fantastic blocker. He just publicly said many times, I don't want to block. He said it flat out.
Right. I mean, hey, he wanted to catch his balls too, but he was an excellent blocker, and that's what I'm not feeling comfortable with the Ebron pick in first round. Not at 12. No.
Shakes, look at Arthur Lynch out of Georgia in the fourth round. I've been putting him up on Twitter now for a few weeks. If the Giants want to wait that long to get a block first tight end, Arthur Lynch would be a terrific pick.
How about the kid out of Iowa? You could probably get him in the third round, the C.J. Federowitz kid.
I've had some people ask me about him, too, and I'm sure that he'll be there. Let me look at his 40 time.
Not great. I think it was in the high 4.7s. Might have been 4.8.
Yeah, well, Lynch is 4.8.
Right.
I mean, you know, so.
Hey, Paul D.
Yeah.
Paulie D, I want to say this, though. It's not that I want a block first tight end, though. It's not that. But I want a guy that can catch the ball, can be a threat, but he also knows how to block, like Troy Nicholas.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of him in round two. Let me put it to you this way, Shakes, and I don't have to sell you on this, but I'm going to ask you on behalf of all the other Giants fans and callers to the show, if I said to you, you could have Zeke Moat before he ripped up his knee, or you could have Kevin Boss before he became an injury-plagued mess, how would you feel about that this
Kevin
year?
Kevin Boss wasn't a good blocker when he came out of college, by the way. Just saying. He was a bad blocker.
But they were able to block a damn thing. They were able to make him into a pretty good one.
And who's a better athlete
Mike Pope did that, though.
Who's a better athlete with a better frame, with more potential to be a better blocker, Boss or Ebron? It's not close.
But Boss, when he came here, was not a pass-catching tight end in college to where he was a headline guy and an ESPN Sports Center guy. Ebron's making headlines and making names and making money, or will make money, because he catches passes. Big difference.
Go ahead, Shakes.
I think we lost him.
Shakes, you there, pal? Sounds like we lost Shake. Shake, sorry, buddy. Looks like your phone line might have crapped out.
His battery must have crapped out. Yeah. look, here's the bottom line for the Giants, as we said earlier, John, is that tight end position is very barren right now. And I still believe, again, they'll sign a veteran before training camp opens, and they'll also draft one. And how it mixes up, we'll see.
201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Bobby is in New Jersey. Bobby, good morning.
Oh, you waiting for this one?
Bobby, you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Bobby, what do you got for us? Good morning.
I'm good. I just question for Paul. I think I asked you last week. I called in.
Yeah.
Is regarding the drop-off in talent. I know he wants an offensive lineman in first round, but what would, you know what I mean? Like how we talked about Ebron, the drop-off from him to the next tight end compared to, like you said, in the second round. You can get Yankee from Stanford, you know. There's a big guard from Mississippi, I think, Gabe Jackson. There's a lot of guys, like you said, that could start in second round that you can't get tight end where you're going to be lacking in the second, third, fourth round.
So the question is, do you want to go
his point,
guard?
The drop-off in the tight end position is a lot steeper than the drop-off in the offensive line position.
Well, again, yeah. This depends on the style of tight end that you want. If you want a block-first tight end, there's no drop-off down through round four. You can get them. If you want a pass-catch-first tight end, there is a significant drop-off. It depends on the style of guy you want.
And that's fair.
And the other thing is, too, the tackle and the guard situation along the offensive line, there are a plethora of stud tackles that, look, I mentioned a couple of months ago, Tiny Richardson, before it came out, apparently he's got some kind of knee issue. He's going to be there in round two. You know, if the Giants wind up going for a tight end or somebody else in round one, and Tiny Richardson's sitting there in round two, he's certainly a guy that I would take, knee or not. Because I still believe they need a starting caliber tackle. And to me, there are many more starting caliber tackles right up top that you can put up there in that cluster than there are starting guards. Tackles are much more valuable, especially if you can get a guy who you can plug in for 10 years and say, look, you're my guy. Just get the job done. So that's why I value.
I agree.
That's why I value them so much.
Do you think that, though, say we take, you know, say we take whoever you want at offensive line in the first round, then you say we take Nicholas or any of these guys throughout second, third, or fourth, and you plug them in. Now, when you have Eli with, like John was saying earlier, Victor, maybe Randall on the outside, Jernigan, Manningham, whoever battles for the slot position, do you think that's going to be enough weapons when rather than, I just am so pro Ebron because I feel like, as John mentioned earlier, he's going to open up. It's going to be less pressure for Jernigan and Randall to step up.
Well, let me ask you a different question. You're asking me, do you think that's enough weapons? Are you so sure that they're done? Why can't they draft, let's say, one of the tackles I'm talking about in round one or round two even, and get a bona fide speed-burning receiver in round three, which they're going to be there.
Yeah, but to ask a third-round wide receiver, Paul, and Bobby, I'm sorry, I'll let you finish when I'm done. To ask a third-round wide receiver to step in and to be a difference-making playmaker in year number
one,
I think you're asking a lot.
Doesn't have
no,
to
but
be.
I think, Paul, but here's my thing. I think Bobby's right. I worry a lot about having this offense be productive enough with the current guys they have at their skill positions. I guess it depends on how sure you are about Randall taking that next step, and that is going to be a huge part of this equation.
No,
no question about it. I agree with that 100%. Look, we just saw how pedestrian this offense was last year, and I know a ton of it had to do with the offensive line. I know that. I'm not making the argument. But, really, when Eli did have time, did these wide receivers get enough separation to give Eli room to throw the football?
There was difficulty. But, again, I believe that a big part of that wasn't just the offensive line, which crumbled left and right, but in addition to that, the running game was very very pedestrian as
well. I agree.
Well.
Very inconsistent.
And I believe, and this is where, again, there are so many unknowns with this team, and they're so fluid. I happen to think that while Rashad Jennings, you know, has proven something in this league, he's still a bit of a question mark. If he is what the Giants think he is, if he's the Rashad Jennings that played against them here in the middle of last season, if that's the Rashad Jennings that they got, wow. You know what? That's going to make a big difference to this offense because he can catch the ball, he can block, He can run with power. He can run short yardage. He can break off some good long runs. He himself, with the combination of Jennings and the offensive line being dramatically improved at two of your aspects of your offense, are going to make things a lot better for this offense. You don't need to have an all-pro wide receiver.
All right, Bobby, finish up. What do you got for us?
No, I get what Paul's saying. I'm trying to, like you said, yeah, last year we saw this offense stall, and going into that year, you wouldn't have expected it. So now I feel like we've already seen it happen once, and we lost Hakeem, who didn't put up the greatest numbers, but, you know, he's going to take some double teams away from Victor. Now I just think if we go, you know, like Ebron in the first round, you're getting that bona fide playmaking tight end. You can teach him how to block. Then, you know, you can still get a starting offensive lineman 2 through 6, as well as getting a starting caliber wide receiver, like a Benjamin, Martavius Bryant, somebody in the later rounds, where I feel like you're getting more value overall draft.
Yeah, the Clemson kid could be good.
Yeah, I agree. I think Martavius Bryant could be a good pick. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, man, and I think you're along the right track here with your thinking.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Shakes called back. I want to get him on. Shakes, real quick, man. Finish up. What else do you have for us?
Oh, yeah, man. But I also I really don't agree with going offensive lineman in first round either.
Ah, see, now you guys are going to start arguing. You and Paul got along for a little while. Yeah. Now you guys are going to start fighting with each other. I was waiting for this. I was going to bring that up.
I know, but this is my point about it, though, because we invested in our tackles already. And at 12, the only offensive lineman I see that we could draft is tackle. And if we already invested a lot of money in two tackles, we drafted one last year, and we signed Beatty to a hefty deal last year. So we already invested in tackles. Why would we invest in a third tackle?
Shakes, let me just say one thing to you real quick here. And I don't want to tie us up.
And by the way, I think Shakes makes a good logical point there.
Okay, but you see the other side of that coin is what John said before. You don't know about Beatty's long-term durability because of the injuries that he's had, and quite frankly, his up-and-down performance over the last 3 years. And I'm still thinking that Pugh is a viable alternative to move inside.
But why do you think he's going to be a better guard than he is a tackle when he's never played guard before?
Because I like his athleticism and his footwork. And I like his ability to I think he's a very smart player.
Does he have the power, though, to play inside?
Paulie D.
Yeah. I think he will get stronger.
Let me say this, John. If you go into this season, okay, with Beatty at tackle, with a rookie at the other tackle, and Pugh at guard, with our already offensive line woes, I'm not feeling too comfortable, D. I'm not feeling too comfortable, Paulie D.
Pugh was a rookie offensive lineman playing right tackle this past season, and he did a fine job.
But that's
and the tackles coming out in the first round this year are supposed to be better than Pugh was.
Pugh is actually better than the tackles picked ahead.
Yeah, and the guys that are supposed to be in the first round this year are better tackles than Pugh. So you could absolutely survive with that. Look at the Bears. They had two offensive linemen rookies starting right next to each other in this past year.
Last thing I'm going to say is I still think that defense is not out of the question. I would go Mosley. I would go Barr. I would still go Gilbert because of how much we had went through injury woes for the last 5 seasons on cornerback. So that's just my opinion. Thanks for taking my call, y'all.
Thank you, Shakes. Appreciate it, bud.
Two things I want to say, John. A, based on some of the questions that we've talked about with the tackles, I don't think it's in stone that 2015 or 16, and I know you're going to tell me, well, that's a year or two down the road. Maybe it's not important, but I think that it is.
You always look ahead. And Jerry Reese has looked ahead before. He drafted Hankins with the purpose of replacing Linval Joseph.
Correct.
Right.
I don't think I could tell you with any sense of certainty right now that Beatty and Pugh are the two starting tackles opening day 2015.
No, I don't know
I'm not
either.
Sure of that.
Heck, we don't even know if in 2015 Prince and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie are two starting quarterbacks. Prince is a free agent next offseason.
So, and I don't want to see this offensive line crumble again. I've already seen that happen, and it's ugly. So if I could address that now with such a good crop of offensive tackles coming out in the first round, again, all the more reason for me to want to do that. So I'll get off of that for a minute. Let me go to the other thing that he was saying.
possibly picking defense in the second round.
Yeah.
In the first round, excuse me.
Yeah. This team, okay, this team is investing a lot of faith right now in JPP's ability to bounce back.
Yes.
Which may or may not be a wise thing to do. We don't know that.
Nope. No idea.
They're investing a lot of faith in the fact that they used a very high draft pick on DeMontre Moore.
Third round pick. And he has been here working out, so I think early signs are good that he's a little more dedicated than he was last year.
With the understanding, as you and I both saw, he's got the skills to be a ferocious beast.
Great athlete.
But is the rest of the stuff there?
Correct.
To make him a player?
Desire, mental focus, you know, the body, the physical, you know, strength, all that stuff is a question mark.
And quite honestly, Mathias Kiwanuka did not blossom last year when they finally got him back to being a full-time defensive end like I think the Giants wanted him to.
Hey, look, Kiwi took a pay cut this year. If he has a bad year, he could find himself on the street next season.
So, all three of their, quote, pass rushers.
And by the way, throwing Colin Jenkins, who's 32. So who knows how much longer he's going to play at a high level.
But I consider him more of a defensive tackle than an end.
Correct. That's
but,
fair.
But let's talk. Just talk about their three defensive end pass rushers right now, because that's the three-man rotation.
All
we have.
Question marks.
And that's my point to you. So, yes, defensive line is in play here.
Yes. Defensive end specifically.
Again, I'm looking at the North Carolina guy as potentially round two. I don't think he's first-round value, but I think he's round two value. I could absolutely see that. I don't know at 12.
I don't think a guy's there.
If the guy's there. Because Clowney will be gone. And there's nobody else who's worthy of a middle first-round pick.
Yeah, I think Jerry would be willing to make that pick if the right player was there. I just don't think the right player's there. Okay, who knows, though? Maybe the Giants have a better grade on somebody than either you and I think. Who the hell knows?
Could be.
You never know.
Nope.
And by the way, just we haven't even talked about it. Giants' best secondary in the NFC, is it better than Seattle's? Because to me, that's the only team that even comes close to competing. It's by far the best in the NFC East. That goes without question.
I would say they're still not proven that they're the best.
Okay, I think that's fair. But top three?
Yes.
Talent-wise, maybe top two.
I'll go top three in the conference right now.
Right.
I don't know if I'm willing to go higher than that.
Okay, I think that's fair. But Thurman, that thought, is a good fit in the slot. You know, Dominique Rodgers-Kamardi, not a perfect player by any means. He has some red flags to him. He's been inconsistent. You know, doesn't stop.
But a front-line player.
He doesn't stop the run well, but he's a speed, height, great guy that you can man up on one side of the field and say, you know what, you'll get beat now and then, but we're going to be okay putting you out there and guarding somebody man on man.
And quite honestly, you feel the same way about Prince.
You do, sure.
So that's a good way to start.
And you always like to talk about Perry Fuel's Rubik's Cube and bag of tricks. Well, it just got a little bit bigger. Because when you have two corners that can play man on man and a slot guy that's good, and you have three safeties that can all cover and stop the run, trust me, you have a pretty effective package back there. You can do a lot of – I would expect the Giants to blitz a lot more this year than they have in the past.
You know, John, again –
a lot more.
Again, though, there still are questions. None of this stuff is solid because we don't know exactly how Stevie Brown's going to play after his knee injury.
You don't, but he's the third safety.
But a big part of what they want to do because he is a ball hawk.
He's probably the sixth defensive back on the field, I'd say.
And, quite frankly, Will Hill – love him as a player.
Off the field stuff, you never know.
But you just don't know.
Correct.
So there are still question marks attached to these guys.
There is.
You know, they're not video game players that you could just turn on the power button and say, we're good.
Am I actually more optimistic about the secondary than Paul Dottino? Is that possible?
I tell you what. You know what's really funny? A guy like J'Ron Hosley is probably like the
fifth quarter on this team.
You love
J'Ron Hosley.
And he's got talent.
He does. 201-939-4513, back to our phones. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, Len.
Good, good. Hello, Paul. How are
you?
Hi. Good, good, good. Listen, I wouldn't trust any general manager or scout 6 weeks before the draft making any comments about Taylor Lewan. By my way of thinking, if you're drafting 13 through 32, you're going to say, Taylor Lewan is a second rounder. Taylor Lewan is off our draft list. We're not interested in Taylor Lewan until Taylor Lewan hasn't been drafted and you got the pick. I don't trust what anybody says. I don't trust what, this 6 weeks before the draft, I don't trust any, including Jerry.
It's a fair point.
And his scouts, including Jerry and his scouts. All right,
as a wise NFL guy once said to me, even your closest friends will lie to you in the 2 months leading up to the draft.
Or they're not going to have a job after the draft. That's for sure.
But you know what? To be fair, Len. To be fair, the statement, while you can certainly raise a slanted or a skeptical look at that if you choose, the statement does hold water. There's a lot of truth to that around the league with certain prospects, with certain teams in certain years. It absolutely does happen. I can tell you that for a fact. Now, whether or not it applies in this case as strongly as it was suggested to me, you can drink that glass of water if you choose. But it does happen.
Right. I trust the beat writer more than I trust the general manager and the scouts at this point of the year.
Well, that's a very bad mistake. Trust me when I tell you that.
No. I trust what the beat writer's telling me more than I trust.
That's a very, very bad mistake.
Now, let me just say one other thing about Lawan. I hope the Giants haven't drawn a line through his name. I really hope. I hope they're not waiting to the second round to get him, and I hope they haven't drawn a line through his name. I'm not saying they should pick him if he's there. It depends who else is there. But I would, if I'm the Giants, I wouldn't draw a line through his name. Let me ask you a question. Do you think the Giants have given – I'm going to give you some names. Tell me if you think the Giants have – you know, it's over. We've given up on these guys. Terrell Thomas. Bear
Pretty
Pascal,
much so, yes.
Andre Brown.
Pretty much
Jim
so, yes.
Cordell. Jim Cordell. Do you think on all four of those guys it's over?
Thomas, Brown, Cordell. Who was the fourth?
Thomas.
Pascal.
Pascal.
Pascal, I'm not sure. I think he probably should not come back because they need to upgrade that position. So I would hope that would be over.
And his fullback flexibility not as important now since you have both Hanoski and John Connor here.
Right.
Agreed.
Right.
And the other one was, Thomas Cordell. Cordell was the other one?
Yeah, Cordell.
Cordell,
again, I would hope that the Giants can upgrade. I don't think Jim Cordell's coming back here.
Okay. All right. So probably with those four guys, it's probably more than 50-50. It's in the range of 60-40 that they're not coming back.
Oh, I'd say it's a lot higher than that. I'd say it's probably 90-10.
Okay. Okay, good. All right. So we move on. Let me ask you one more question now. Something Mr. Maris said yesterday in his interview at the owners' meetings, that John and I have, John, you and I have talked about this before, but he made a reference to the fact that, and I'm going to say some words here that weren't exactly Mr. Maris' words, but it'll convey a point. Free agency in the draft isn't going to work. It's not going to work. We're not going to get to the 10 wins. We're not going to get to the 10 wins unless some of those young veterans come through for us next year.
That's a given. Let's
throw some names out. Who do you think amongst those? I'm just going to throw some names. I mean, Nassib at least displacing Painter. Robinson at tight end. Mosley at guard. Randall taking a big step forward. 56 catches to make up, guys.
You mentioned only one guy who's relevant, Len. That's Randall.
Okay, who's that?
Randall's relevant.
Okay.
DeMontre Moore is relevant.
How about Journey?
Okay. Well, so you don't think Mosley's a player? When I say player, maybe I shouldn't use that word, but you don't think Mosley's a consideration to upgrade that offensive line?
If Mosley takes a step forward, that he's a backup. Mosley's not a starter.
Okay.
See, Randall's a starter. Okay.
Okay.
So that's critical.
How about Robin? How about
DeMontre Moore is going to be a starter in effect because he's going to be part of the three defensive end rotation. That's critical.
Right. How about Adrian Robinson at tight end?
How about Robinson at tight end?
I'd like to think the two tight ends they bring in are better than Adrian Robinson.
And then a question, Len. I want to build on this for a second.
Wow.
Len, stay put. I want to build on this. King underscore cornerback on Twitter wants to know about Larry Donald. Do you think he could be that blocking veteran tight end that could do a good job in that respect of the game? I know the coaches loved him last year. He played through a lot of injuries.
Right.
He showed the ability to block. Paul, what's your take on how the organization sees Larry Donnell?
I believe that they think he's got the most long-range potential of the tight ends, which is saying a lot for him because he was an undrafted free agent.
Right.
But at the same time, when they desperately needed somebody to step up at the end of last season,
he didn't do much.
He wasn't able to do it.
Right.
Now, that's because mentally – he's way behind. way behind. The injuries have set him back. The fact that he came in and really wasn't from, you know, the pro style of offense that you'd like to get a guy from.
And now he's learning a new one.
So I don't know that you put a lot of eggs in his basket. To me, I'll tell you what, and I know Jerry Reese, if he's upstairs listening, he's not going to like me saying this.
Oh, boy.
He might be the only tight end that I'd even want to come back for training camp. I'm not an Adrian Robinson guy.
Wow.
And again, Larry, to me, is the third tight end on this team.
I think that's fair.
I think that's where he sits. I think Danelle's the third tight end on this team. But, okay, listen, I appreciate that. But, boy, that didn't tell me much about some of these young veterans helping out. I mean, I think we're going to need, you know, to move forward. Great free agency so far. I'm behind it 100%. I think we're going to have a good draft. Hang on to that 12th pick. John knows what I think about that 12th pick. Hang on to that 12th pick. But some of these young guys have got to take a big step forward. I think Mr. Marrow was right. It's really a three-pronged approach. Hey, Paul, always great to talk
to you. Thank you, Len.
Thanks for taking my call. John, take care.
Appreciate it. Hey, one thing I need to mention, Jonathan Hankins has a start next year. And he showed flashes last year, but it's still a big jump from going from a 20-25 snap guy to a 50 snap guy.
Great call, John. I think that he would be the other of the top three who really need to be counted on heavily if the Giants are going to do anything.
How about Jaquan Williams, linebacker?
I don't consider him so much a big step-up guy because what he is now, what he showed the Giants last year during the second half of the season, I think if that's what he is, that's okay.
You're okay with that. Okay.
I think in what they want him to do, he's okay there.
How about Marcus Kuhn as your third defensive tackle? Because right now, that's who he is. You don't have a third defensive tackle. It's Marcus Kuhn.
No, he is the third defensive tackle. I still think that Mike Patterson may be here on the back end of the summer.
I agree with that.
So
I think that's fair.
The pressure isn't so much on him, or it won't be so much on him, as much as it's definitely on Moore to get some pressure and on Reuben Randall to hopefully catch 9 touchdown passes.
Eight? He had, what, 7 last year?
Yeah. He's got to do a little better, and he's going to have to get more balls and more yards.
My man Mike Farmer on Twitter has a question for you, Paul. What's your opinion on Marshall tight end Gator Hoskins? He had some pretty good numbers in his college career.
Truth be told, I have not broken him down. So I'm not going to lie to you and make something up because I have not broken him down.
Take a look when you get a chance.
I will.
201-939-45. When you get an answer on hashtag Giants Chat. When the conversation continues. By the way, we got people like on this thing 24 hours now. Like at night I'm getting, you know, Twitter messages from people on hashtag Giants
Chat.
It's nuts. Yeah, you got to check it out every day. You need to put it on your phone. You need to make it part of your daily Twitter ritual when you're doing your power walks. Don't just look at your notifications. Look at hashtag Giants Chat, and maybe Paul Dottino can participate in the conversation. Lance Meadows kind of abandoned us. He's big time in us. So we need someone else to help.
I am considering a Nike 5 today.
Really?
I am, even though
it's
really
chilly.
Cold. But the sun's out. I'm considering a Nike 5 today.
I think this is our last blast. I think after this week, I think we're going to be over 50 for the rest of the way.
I was hoping, John.
Can you believe we're going to get snow again? I mean, come on, man.
Not good. Not good.
Come on.
Hey. You know what? As long as training camp is nice and sunny and beautiful, we're going to be fine.
201-939-4513. My man Rolando's in New York. Rolando, what's up, buddy?
Hey, John. How you doing, Paulie D?
Good to
Great
talk
stuff,
to you, man.
Guys.
Thank you.
Great stuff. You guys got me all over the place. I'm thinking, really, because I'm on with Paulie with the tight end from Georgia. He's a real good tight end, a real good blocker. You know, when they forget about him, he can sit in there behind the linebacker, good hands. He will a great pick at the fourth.
Imagine how much he would help Rashad Jennings turn the corner for a 13-yard gain on 3rd and 4.
I'm going to give you one better, Paulie. Imagine him helping Beattie seal the corner, even on a chip block, because that's what Bill Parcells used to do all the time when he had one of those pass rushes. When they were giving them Brandon Benson a hard time.
I hear you.
And to your question, Zeke Moore. Another thing that you mentioned, John mentioned Friday, that, man, it intrigued me the whole weekend. And I know you're not going to both like this, is dropping back, trading the 12 and dropping back for the extra 2 and 7. Wow. In this draft, when you consider the talent level coming out.
How far down do you want to go?
To me,
15. 15.
Three spots?
I would go as far as 18. I don't think I go much past that because I still think I could get a Zach Martin type around 17 or 18 in the draft.
If it's true what Paulie's saying about Taylor Lewis and the rumors going out there, all of a sudden you might be able to get him at 17, 18. And also Zeke Martin, but you can also get the defensive end for Missouri, the 6'5", 276, with the long arms. That one thing we're not addressing that Charlie mentioned Friday is the D-line. He's right. He's right in terms that we're not addressing the line. We're doing a great job taking care of the back end. And it's true, Johnny, I believe, or Paulie mentioned it, we're going to do a lot more blitzing. No, John, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
We're going to do more blitzing with this package. And I see that just to supplement from the defensive line. I mentioned before not drafting one, but which I still would. I like to be able to draft Kevin Williams from Minnesota so that we have a sense of security because it's unproven. We hope Hankins can make it a whole season. We hope, and I think this is what you wanted to get back at me the other day when I mentioned Marcus Kuhn coming off an injury. That was 2 years ago. But he didn't see much action last year, and we're going to depend on him this year. Both of them unproven.
What's more scary than that, because I do have some very good feelings about Hankins and Kuhn and Jenkins playing defensive tackle and hopefully Mike Patterson or maybe even a guy they might add in the draft. But here's what should concern you. The Giants' run defense, which got so much better in the second half of last season, they had Justin Tuck playing one of those defensive end spots, and I tried to tell people even early during last season, Tuck was playing the run probably as well as he had ever played in his career. He was very, very solid. Think of who your defensive ends are right now. JPP, when he was right at times, did not play the run very well, wanted to become more of a pass rusher.
But other times, he actually was very good against the run
when he
dedicated himself to it.
But inconsistent.
I think he had about one good half season against the run over his NFL career so far.
So now that's a bit of a question.
Yeah.
Demontre Moore, we already know that he was immature as a rookie. We're asking him to mature in year two, but how much do you think he's going to want to play the run this year when they've already said to him, you've got to get to the quarterback? I think that could be an issue. And then on top of that, who's your other defensive end? Matthijs Kiwanuka, who quite frankly was invisible for a lot of the 2013 season. So now if you're an opposing offensive coordinator, and you're looking at this Giants defense, you know they're going to blitz a lot. You know that they've got good guys in the secondary, ball hawks, and guys who can cover. What are you going to do? You're going to pound the football and run at their defensive ends.
Well, that's where I think where – you see, Johnny, Paulie, this is where you guys make great arguments in a lot of ways. This is where you can draft down and set yourself up with a defensive end that you also take in a sense of security in case JPP decides to leave. And in terms of running, something that John touched upon, that you mentioned that, you know, a Jenkins is more of a defensive tackle, I just think in running situations, you could put Jenkins at the end in the running situation where you can change the whole package in terms of pass rushing. But we still don't have a speedy pass rushing end. You know,
that's what Demontre Moore is, and that's what JPP is when he's right. A run-stopping defensive end.
A left end. You're missing a left end.
I mean, that's a thin spot. It really is.
You're right. Both of you guys are right, and this is where I'm trying to come up with an answer based on what you guys are telling me.
Yeah, you want to get another pick. I see.
Yeah, you get another pick in the second round. Given the fact that this is a very strong draft, given that you had a lot of juniors, you got three rounds of juniors, 96 juniors came out this year. That's, you know, three more rounds. And John mentioned the fact that when you put that much pressure on a third-round wide receiver, in this particular draft, let's just say that third round might be a second because of his talent level. And yeah, I would put that much pressure on him, but not as a starter, as a guy that you come in and out. But from the midseason on, he has a little bit of understanding of the playbook, and he has a little more understanding of the NFL game that you can start depending on him towards the later part of the season. And I got so much stuff in my brain. I'm going to leave it at that. I can't.
Thank you, Ro.
You know, the best part about this.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the call. The best part about this, John, and I mean this sarcastically, but I also mean it to some degree to be realistic. When you're a team like the Giants, you haven't made the playoffs for 4 out of the last 5 years.
A lot of holes to fill, a lot of options.
7-9, you better start mixing up that apple cart because the apples that you brought home the other day had a lot of bruises on them, and it was time to get some new apples. And that means a lot of options. So it's these kinds of conversations.
It's fun.
That really rack your brain.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, we got 3 calls on the line. We'll take you 3 guys. Then Paul and I are going to say goodbye. Let's go to Derek in Atlanta next. Derek, what's going on, man?
Hi, John and Paul.
Hi.
I'm just thinking about team chemistry and hopefully that maybe the start of the way that we can line up for the season. We don't get a heavy, bad schedule because we're going to need some time to gel.
It's not a bad point.
With all these free agents that we bring in. And
well, that's why the Hall of Fame game's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
5 preseason games is a very good thing.
And, Derek, the other thing about it, too, is that you might have a little bit of an advantage early in the season, too, since other teams – wouldn't have seen the Giants' new offense yet. So they might catch some teams by surprise with some stuff, and you get to the second half of the season, that's when other teams might start adjusting back to what the Giants do. So there are 2 sides to that coin.
Yeah. Got a couple of other things. John Jerry, I got a friend who watches Miami, so I'll kind of watch Miami. I think we got a pretty good player there. I think he can come in and play multiple positions. And you know, if Snead's not right, I think he can come in and actually start and do a pretty good job there. He got tackle feet in playing guard. And, only thing is, you know, we get him and Lawan's there. I don't know about bringing, you know, a couple of these players with questionable, you know, pass into the locker room. It might cause a problem there. So what do you think about that?
The only thing I would say to that particular issue, and again, you know, I'm on record as not wanting to take Lawan, but if the Giants take him, then what they're telling you is this. A, we've done an extensive background check on him, and we believe that he will mature and grow up quick enough to help us. And B, we believe that our structure, our system, our coaches, and our locker room are strong enough and you know, able to fix this guy. I'm using the word fix because I don't have another word to use. But to fix this guy and to make him what it is that we need him to be. I mean, that's the assumption you have to make if they reach out for a guy like that.
Yeah. I was just kind of concerned about, you know, getting a couple of questionable people into our locker room. I know that's John's philosophy right now. It's just they got to get as many good players as they can and hopefully chemistry work out. One more thing. What is the possibility on rundowns that Cullen Jenkins can go over to left end and play that spot and maybe for passing downs, you know, switch out and bring, the speed rushes in?
Given the fact that they're a tad thin in the defensive line right now, I think anything's possible. I would not rule out any possibility at all with moving these guys around. And by the way, it's that very, very issue about versatility that I also hold against Lawan. He is a tackle in this league.
Correct. Martin can do both.
There's a chance Zach Martin could also be a center, by the way. He's another pew guy where he could play any of the positions. I'm big into that. That's a very, very big bonus for me. That's like icing on the cake. Lawan is a tackle and only a tackle. And if he flames out a tackle for whatever reason, you're done. You can't move him anywhere else. That's what he is.
Thanks for the call, Derek.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, we got to get off the air at 11, so we got 2 more calls. We've got to get them in a little bit quick. So, Tom and Ithaca, you've been holding. What do you got for me and Paul?
Hey, guys. I know a couple callers before me kind of stole my thunder, but with Luan's issues, like Paul's been saying, if he drops, Does that mean that, number one, somebody takes Zach Martin, who needs a tackle, before us, and given all the conversations we've had about Ebron, I mean, realistically, trading down sounds like it's more of a possibility, and with the depth in this draft, maybe with so many holes still on the roster, especially on offense, you know, does quantity kind of take over a little bit since there is so much depth and you can still get quality with that quantity?
There's one problem with what you're talking about, and I can't remember who it was, but it was one of the NFL network guys, or maybe it was a CBS sports guy. It might have been Charlie Casserly even. I'm not sure, was saying that there is a very, very heavy interest around the league for people trying to move down because of the depth at so many positions in this draft.
So it might be hard finding a partner.
Exactly. So many people apparently want to move down. They're willing to slip 2, 3, 4, 5 spots. They'd love to get that extra pick because they're like, wait a minute.
That's true.
There are so many good players in this draft. So how do you find somebody?
You need 2 to tango here.
You need somebody
at 12 that's there that another team's going to say, Tom, that we have to have this guy no matter what.
We're moving up.
And I guess the one spot you could talk about there, I mean, maybe if there's a 3-4 team looking for a pass rusher that would love Anthony Barr, that could be a guy theoretically a team would want to trade up for since there aren't a ton of pass rushers.
Or if somebody gets scared about one of the quarterbacks.
Yes.
Maybe.
Or if one of the 3 or 4 quarterbacks is still there, that could be another spot where someone might want to trade up.
That's about it, though, John.
That's about it.
Who else is going to want to move up?
That's it.
That's what I had a feeling you guys might mention something like that, and I kind of looked at the draft order, and with Rex Ryan being so upset about a corner at 18, if Gilbert or Denard is there at 12, do you think that the Jets would be willing to trade up and get that corner? I mean, I know that they need weapons on offense.
You know, that's not a bad point. Someone might be willing to trade up and pick Gilbert or Denard if they're there at 12. That's actually, I think, fair. I think a corner could be a guy, somebody that the team would want to trade up for.
Yeah, and even Miami 19, if, you know, there's a tackle on the board that they like and the Giants don't want to take a tackle, even they could consider moving up to get them before maybe Pittsburgh or Baltimore come up on the clock.
That's not bad, Tom. Those are actually some pretty good possibilities.
That's got some merit. I'd have to think about that some more. I hadn't thought about moving up for a corner.
It's not bad.
Interesting.
Tom, appreciate the call, man. Good stuff.
Thank you.
See, this is why Giant fans are the best. They get us to think about stuff like this.
Well, you know what's funny, John, is that on my Twitter account and on the internet, you know, I'm getting a lot of hatred because I don't want Ebron in the first round.
Well, Roldy is very unhappy with you. He's a big fan, but he's not.
And it's you know, what people need to understand is that when you're talking about players in the draft, especially at number 12, which is a relatively high pick, I think we would both agree.
People don't want an offensive lineman. They want somebody they're going to see make big plays. I get
they're
that.
They're thinking sports center.
Right, of course.
And I get that, okay? I'm trying to come at this from a philosophical X's and O's, you know, born and bred, old school football winning tradition. This is what we need to do.
Right.
That's where I come from. It's a different world.
I will buy the argument, though, that Shake's made, that would be a lot to invest in the offensive line. You're looking at a second-round pick and a big contract extension for Beattie, a first-round pick in Pugh, a first-round pick in whoever you pick in the first round, a fairly sizable free agent contract for Jeff Schwartz. So you're looking at significant investment in 4 out of your 5 offensive linemen. Now, in the past, Richie Seibert, not a significant investment until you gave him that second deal, and it still wasn't that big. Sean O'Hara was a fairly low-level free agent signing when the Giants brought him in. They were able to find offensive linemen somewhat on the cheap during those years.
Has that worked out since?
It hasn't. Not at all. But I'm just saying, that is a – and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. A good offensive line is a key to being a consistent football team. I'm not arguing any of that. It's 100% true. But it is too a lot to invest in one position. And I will buy the logic behind that argument to a certain extent.
You know what? And that's what makes this offseason so incredibly colorful, because there are a lot of logical cases you can make to go in a lot of different directions. But ultimately, this organization has to sit upstairs in their war room, and they have to be definitive, and they've got to be concrete, and they've got to be assertive and confident that, hey, this is how we're going to build this team this year and for the next 3, 4, or 5 years, because Eli Manning's window has got about 4 years, maybe 5 years, before you can say, well, you know what? We need a new franchise quarterback.
Final call of the show, Paul. Let's go to Randy in Virginia. Randy, you're our cleanup hitter today. What do you got?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Randy.
Hey, so I have a couple things. One regarding the exit press conference that John Mara had at the end of the season.
Okay.
You know, one of the things he was saying was it was kind of like a sobering reality from, you know, when the season was about to start and we thought the roster was better than it really was. Y'all remember him saying that.
That's correct.
He also said that he knew going in the biggest question was the offensive line, and it turned out to be a nightmare.
Right. And, you know, ironically, you know, the year before they said that they were going to work on getting better in the trenches, and we bulked up the D-line really good, but we were still ended up being a little bit thin on the O-line. We did invest a first-round pick with Pugh, but aside from that, we were kind of stagnant. But, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, moving down in the draft, and I'm wondering about, you know, moving up. Hold on, don't shoot me yet. I know everybody's saying this is a really deep draft, but I'm not talking about moving that 12 pick. I think that 12 pick is lovely, but maybe if we have an opportunity to move up again in the first round at something lines up, like, honestly, y'all might think I'm crazy, but I think there's a chance that, you know, maybe someone like Mac could actually be there at 12. You know, if there's a run on tackles and quarterbacks and cornerbacks, you know, there's a possibility he could be there. And, you know, I think we have to take him, you know, if that happens. We have an awesome middle linebacker in Beeson. What a blessing and a godsend Tuck City Q was. But at the same time, you know, he has some injury history. And, you know, when we really have bad seasons, it's because we get caught with our pants down because those who are behind them in depth are like a huge drop-off in quality. So everybody's talking about getting quantity, getting more draft picks, but what about getting more quality? You know, if we could get maybe another pick in the first round or maybe another pick in the second round or another pick in the third round so that we have more quality impact players. I don't want someone who's going to be solid. You know, you look at some of those teams who are doing it right now, they have, like, they have depth upon depth of people who could be starting.
All right, so give me half a second here, though. I want to follow your philosophy for a second. You want to move up from 12 or you want to move up from 43? Which of the first two picks are you trying to move up from?
Move up from 43. I'm saying I like 12. I don't want to do anything for 12.
Keep 12.
I like 12.
All right, so you want to move up from 43. How high do you want to go?
What's that?
How high do you want to go?
You know, if there's something that say, you know, 24, you know, somewhere around there, you know, if someone like...
That will probably cost you, just heads up, that will cost you maybe your first rounder in 2015 to move up that much.
Very steep.
Or a fourth round pick this year and like a second or third round pick next year, something like that.
I mean, it's going to be expensive.
Normally, I would agree with y'all on that. But like y'all said, a lot of people are looking to stockpile on picks and whatnot, and you know, they're looking to get more quantity. You know, if it ends up, you know, compromising, you know, our 2015 draft, I don't like it either, guys. But if there's something we can do as far as, you know, maybe if it comes to us getting rid of a fourth-round pick or, you know, another fifth-round pick, then I think there's some great quality that we could get early on.
All right, Randy, thanks for the call, pal.
Thanks,
John,
bro.
To finish
you
up,
have a good one. Appreciate
my
it.
Thought on that, my feeling is the Giants still have enough of holes right now that I still think they need the quantity of picks over the first 3 days
I
to make this thing work.
I don't think you can sacrifice any picks. They already don't have their seventh because of the Beeson trade. So, I mean,
which was a good deal.
No question about it. I'm not complaining about it, but you know, they're so short a pick. So I would like for them to keep all their selections,
they
if not add
They got a compensation pick back, though, didn't they?
Have all the compensation picks been announced? Is that all official? Have we? It's not, right? I didn't think so.
No, they are getting one, though.
They should get one for either OC walking away or Martellus Bennett walking away, I would think.
I don't know how high it's going to be, but I think they're going to get one.
I agree. But right now they have six picks. Yeah, I don't know when the NFL announces the compensation picks. Ollie online was asking me about that. It's this week they get the compensation picks announced? There you go.
Yeah, I think they're getting one, but I would not necessarily be in favor of moving up from 43 because I'm of the opinion, John, and I think you would agree, regardless of where they go, there's going to be a starting caliber player at 43. I think regardless of position, there are enough good players in this draft at spots the Giants need, whether it's a wide receiver, a tight end, a defensive lineman, or an offensive lineman.
I agree.
43 is a good spot.
By the way, before the show ends, I think I have to do brag a little bit to you and pat myself on the back. I won our little running back battle.
Well, look at it this way. Ben Tate, who was on their list, I know he was on their list. I'm going to tell you that, folks. He was on their list. In fact, they wanted him, and he wanted to come here. His price was a little too high. And after the Giants struck quickly and got Rashad Jennings for less money than they got some of the other running backs went for, Ben Tate, as you notice, came in a little bit later, and his price started to come down
because
he had some issues trying to get the $4 million that he was hoping to get. So...
Well, they gave Jennings around 3.5, give or take, right? 3 and change?
I think actually he's going to wind up with about 3.
Okay.
Which, value-wise, was a good move for them.
Sure.
It's too bad because I would like to have had to see Ben Tate work out, but the Giants were literally looking at every penny because, as we now know, they had a lot of guys they were trying to get.
No question.
And so...
And that's one of the reasons they could have bring Tuck back, too.
That's it. So, you're right. I give you credit for that. You did have Jennings targeted.
And both of us had Schwartz, so both of us had hit on that one.
We mentioned him. We mentioned him. But ultimately, I feel bad about Ben Tate because I think he would have been a better fit here. But, again, his number would not have allowed them, let's say, to go out and grab Thurman.
Yeah, take out, what, 2 for 7 and change from Cleveland, something like that?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he's getting about $3.5 million a year,
which is more than
what Jennings is getting.
Yeah.
And you know Tate's price was higher than that 2 weeks earlier.
And you also have Jennings for a longer time at a reasonable price, too. It's a better contract.
It is a better deal financially and, as a result, is a little bit of a lower risk.
And we'll see if either guy manages to stay healthy, something both have had trouble with over the course of their career. So we'll see.
And don't discount what Jennings did against the Giants here last year. He was really good that day.
And I can tell you the scouting department was very impressed with Jennings heading into that game. They spoke volumes of what a good player
was. And more so after that game was over.
Correct.
He was good.
Paul, appreciate the time. And by the way, you'll get to see Paul DeTino's lovely face on Giants.com next couple of days. We're about to shoot a bunch of second round of our Giants draft bracket, our Giants Big Blue Bracket Challenge videos. Round 2 starts tomorrow. Paul and I will have a quick two-minute video on each matchup. Paul will give his opinion. He's seen all these plays live in person. He was there when Charlie Connerly was, throwing the ball down the field. So he is ready to go and give his opinion on all this stuff.
I have one thing to add, John, before we sign off.
What's
and that?
That
is for this bracket challenge. I don't know which one of you geniuses came up with the pairings and the matchups.
That would be Don Sperling.
It wasn't Don.
Don took this out of my hands and Nile's hands, and he's like, this is mine. I'm taking it. And this was I have nothing to do with it.
Okay. I bring this up because I thought the offense was very, very easy. Picking the two finalists, and I won't tell you who I picked because we obviously are going to try to unveil this over the course of time. The offense was very easy to come up with the finalists. The defense, a lot harder. A lot harder, depending upon how much you weigh the significance of the play compared to the athleticism of the play.
Did you think anything was missing? Any significant play was not in the top 16
either side. You're
talking
about a team that's been around as long as the Giants have and the number of important games that this franchise
has played. Did anything in particular get you upset?
Upset?
Yeah, that was missing. You were easily riled up. I figured that something could have gotten you a little bit.
Not really.
Okay, that's good. That means Don did a good job.
You know, he did a good job in picking the parameters of the kinds of plays and stuff, but ultimately when he paired them, in terms of how he bracketed them, that's what really left a lot of agita on the defensive side.
All right, Paul, we will touch base with you again before the draft starts,
okay,
all right?
Okay, John.
Thanks, Paul. By the way, I might need you to step in. I have to do jury duty. I've moved back and forth from New York to New Jersey enough times. I've finally gotten caught. I have to do jury duty on, like, March 31st.
They snagged you.
I know. I have to go March 31st. They tried to make me go in December. during the football season. I had to push back, obviously. So I have to go the last day of March. So
one thing about the government,
be ready
very
for that.
Good about the delays if you give them a good reason. And I remember a few years ago I got nailed during the season, and I said to them, "Look, that's just like impossible because I got to deal with practice every day."
Yeah.
And they were good enough to get me off until April, and that was a nice thing.
Excellent. Well, worse than the worst, you could have watched them practice in like the field up at Rikers or something like that. You know, back with the guys working out.
Yeah. Okay. Time to go, John.
All right. We'll see you later on Giants.com. Everybody have a good one.